Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Your flesh, instead of it then being a blessing, it starts to be detrimental. And you got to just wise up to your flesh, basically, and learn. I'm not saying eradicate those things. They're not bad things. But limit the time that you allow yourself to do those things. Does that make sense? Look, I like the Good Food Channel. I don't know if any of you have got Sky TV. I like the Good Food Channel. And I find, you know, if I've got a bit of spare time, I flick that on. That's what I like to do. And I realize I actually spend quite a bit of my time watching the Good Food Channel. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and my head's filled with how to make a Thai dish or a whatever. And I realize I've got to rein myself in a little bit. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a sin to watch the Good Food Channel. But I just need to limit my time so that I don't push Jesus to one side. You know, I love it when I wake up in the morning and my first thought is the Lord or a scripture. I love that because I'm like, that's what I'm made to be. You know, that's what I'm created for, to be alive to God. You know, when I get to heaven, I don't want to say, well, I can tell you how to make a great paella. What a waste of time. I think I'll feel very ashamed if that was the case. But, you know, I'm just being practical. You know your thing, your issue, the kind of thing that you bend towards. We need to just rein our flesh in. Because if it doesn't, if we don't, it will rule us. And it can happen quickly too. Ever notice that? It doesn't take too long before your flesh rises up and dominates. Think of Peter, the Apostle Peter, amazing man of God. You know, we read the letters that he wrote. His heart was to follow the Lord. He was passionate about Jesus. But very quickly, he was overcome by his flesh. Go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. How are you doing? Is this helpful? Good. We all need to learn. I think we've just got to wise up to our flesh and not give it an inch because it will take much more if we allow it. Matthew 26 and verse 31. Okay, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, here's the great proclamation, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, I think there must have been real compassion, actually, in his heart, because he sees the end from the beginning. And he said, Peter, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. You can read down later. Well, in fact, it was that very same night. So from I will die for you, I will never deny you, he actually denies even knowing the Lord three times. And I want us just to back up and look at what happened in Gethsemane. Jesus said something very important that we all need to hear. Verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right there is the diagnosis of our condition today. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Every time you and I have ever let the Lord down, it's because of the weakness of our flesh. The pull of our flesh to go in the flow of the world. Okay? But Jesus gives the solution in verse 41. Pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Temptation is certain. You know, we'll walk out these doors at the end, today, and there'll be a temptation this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning. Temptation is all around us. But if we will pray, spend time with the Lord, we won't enter in. That's the issue. Jesus' solution then to the weakness of your flesh and my flesh is prayer. Relationship with the Father. How did he know it would work? Because he'd experienced it himself. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. There's that word we love, to help in time of need. Jesus was a spirit being in a flesh and blood body. Same as you, same as me. The word came, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. Jesus took on flesh. He knew what it was like to have a flesh and blood body and a soul. And he knew what it was like to be tempted, but he was able to resist every single time, 10 times out of 10, 100%, because he stayed in fellowship with the Father. He knew that that was his key to success. He left the crowds and went to the mountainside, or went up the mountain to pray. You know, he kind of served all day with the crowds, ministering to the crowds, and then spent all night with the Father. Why? Because he knew he needed to receive strength in his spirit to do what God was calling him to do the next day. He got before the throne of grace and received grace to help in time of need. Now, I have a question for you this morning, and I've got a slide which every time I see this slide, it moves me. If we could have it. Where is your alone place? When I see that, I kind of just want to go in that door and just spend time with Jesus. Where is your alone place? Where do you go to be on your own with Jesus? Think about that. Can you picture it in your mind's eye? If you can't, I recommend keeping the same place and developing the habit of going there regularly, because it's in that place where your spirit is going to receive strength, so that you will walk in the will of God, as Dan was saying at the start of the meeting, but also so that you won't enter in to the temptations that are bound to come to your flesh. Okay? If Jesus needed to go away and pray to overcome his flesh, how much more do we? Really, you know, let's be realistic. I just want to clarify, you know, it's not necessarily praying, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me not to go get, you know, give in to temptation. It's not that. It's more because you spend time in relationship with the Father, your spirit gets strong so that you are able to rule over the weakness of your flesh. Matthew 26:41, Jesus refers to flesh as our weakness. I want to bring something to you this morning that has been a kind of eureka moment for me. I've seen something in scripture that I've never seen before. Okay, so Jesus is saying, spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Turn to Romans 8:26. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. I found out something very interesting about this verse, and that is the word weaknesses, plural, is a wrong translation. In the original Greek, it's singular, not plural. Why does that make a difference? Because actually it should read, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. Okay, for 3 chapters, 6, 7, and 8, Jesus has been talking about the battle between flesh and spirit. The weakness Paul is referring to here is the weakness of the flesh. Okay, so the Spirit helps us in the weakness of our flesh. I'm going to read from the Amplified for you. It's up on the screen, I think. Yes, here we go. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Or in other words, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our flesh. For we do not know what to pray, what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. If at that crossroads, right, we all know when we're there, if at that crossroads where we have the choice to go the way of the flesh or the way of the Spirit, we choose the Holy Spirit, we call on the help of the Holy Spirit, he will come to your aid and bear you up. I love that thought. I love that thought. He will strengthen your spirit to actually do the will of God. If you don't pray, the Holy Spirit doesn't move. Okay, it's as simple as that. If you do pray, he will come to your aid. Isn't that great? Personally, I find that really encouraging. There is a way for us to live in this world, fallen world, for God. And enjoy it, actually. Not find it, you know, such a terrible, difficult thing to do. There's a joy in serving God, you know, and doing his will. Think about the first believers. I start to think of it like this. The first believers, they didn't have all the teaching books that we have now. They didn't have the latest Hillsong album. As far as I'm aware, they didn't even have a New Testament. They had the letters, but I don't know, maybe one of you know this. I don't know. I don't believe they even all had copies of the letters. I think when they gathered together, they'd hear the letters read. But they didn't all have a bound book of the letters and 10 copies in their living room. They gathered together and they heard the letters read. And then they went on their way. How did they turn the world upside down? They had the Holy Spirit. They could pray in the Spirit. They could act in obedience to what they heard the Holy Spirit say. You know, they heard the Lord saying, talk to that person. Go over there and do that. Do this. You know, and through doing that, they did amazing things for God. They saw the kingdom of God come into their day and their time in a way that inspires me, let's put it that way. If they can do it with the little they had, it's pitiful, let me say it that way. If we can't do it with everything we have in this day, the encouragement that we have through the teaching, the amazing teaching material available to us, the CDs. I mean, I love putting on praise and worship music because it lifts me. It lifts my spirit. Okay? We have a lot of encouragement to walk in the Spirit. And if we can't, you know, but the truth is we can. If it worked for them, it will work for us. Okay? You can change your world. You can turn your world the right way around, really, and bring your life into line with the will of God. Bring those mountains down. Raise those valleys. Sort out the crooked places and the rough places. You can do it through praying in the Spirit. I'm such an advocate for this because I know Satan has kind of attached quite a stigma to praying in the Spirit. Other believers don't believe in it. There's a lot of contention about it. And I know when you start to pray in the Spirit, sometimes you can feel a bit silly. You know? But you've got to believe. You've got to pray in the Spirit in faith. When you start to pray, believe, I'm speaking mysteries to God. The enemy can't get involved in this one because he doesn't understand it. I'm bringing the will of God into my family, into my circumstances, into my church, you know. Naturally, we don't know a lot. Let me be honest. We don't know that much. You don't know that much about your life. We're like chickens. We just kind of see what's right in front of us. If all we do is pray what we know, our prayer is limited. But if we will pray in the Spirit, remember Pastor Judith brought those brilliant messages on eagles? If we'll pray in the Spirit, you kind of get eagle-like. You start to bring the will of God. You bring and pray God's perspective into the situation, you know. When you're praying for another person, pray in the Spirit. You know, pray in English, of course. Pray what you know. But also pray in the Spirit, because then you're co-working with the Holy Spirit, and he will bear them up. You know, those people we prayed for earlier this morning, the lady in South Africa, you know, we can pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come to her aid. No wonder Satan hates praying in the Spirit. I've written it down here. He's desperate to stop the will of God happening on earth because he knows it will speed up his final judgment. As the will of God is worked out on earth, his days are numbered. He is desperate to stop you walking in the Spirit and doing the will of God, because it spells not a good thing for him. His goal, I've written it on the screen, is to keep you from praying, to keep you in the flesh so he can influence you, and to keep you focused on yourself. God forbid we get to the end of our lives and we've done nothing more than focus on ourselves. We won't do anything for the kingdom of God if all we do is think about ourselves. If you're focused on yourself, I know it because I've done it, you're mastered by the flesh. Whatever you serve masters you. Whatever you yield to has power over you, okay? Every one of you will know what those things are in your own life, in your own flesh, the things that kind of tempt your flesh and you can give into. If you give into them, that very thing has power over you. But we are spirit beings in natural bodies, and we are able by the Holy Spirit to win over those things. Just say to the person next to you, because you're very quiet, I am a spirit being and I can win. Amen. Okay, now, we stay in natural bodies because we've got a job to do here, you know? If not, I think the Lord would have just zapped us when we got saved. We're here in natural bodies because we've got a job on earth to do. Once we leave this body, this tent, we can't preach the gospel anymore. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Scripture says. As long as you've got a body, you can reach out to other people with the truth. As long as you've got a mouth, you can speak. As long as you've got feet, you can go, you know. I want to bring a testimony to you this morning, quite a moving testimony. Just raise your hand if you've heard of a lady called Joni Erickson Tada. Okay, I thought a lot of you would have. For those of you who don't know her or her story, she had a diving accident as a teenager. And she was paralyzed from the shoulders down. This happened, I think, in the 70s. She went through 2 years of rehabilitation. And it says during those times, she battled with depression and suicidal thoughts. Absolutely understandable. But she immersed herself in the Bible. And she got spiritually strong. She started to paint using her mouth. She started to write books. And she started to work to advance the kingdom in the way that she could. She's paraplegic. She can only move from here up. Imagine that, okay? When asked how she kept going, how she keeps going despite her physical challenges, this is what she said. This is the only time in history when I get to fight for God. Once I die, I'll be in celebration mode in a glorified body. This is my limited window of opportunity, and I'm going to fight the good fight for all I'm worth. I personally find that absolutely amazing. What an attitude. What an attitude for us to have. We're physically mobile and well, you know, but what an amazing attitude for her to have. God's view of life has become hers. She realizes as long as she's here, she's got a body that really isn't working for her, but she has got a mouth that can speak. And, you know, by the Spirit, she's overcoming the weakness of her flesh, of her physical body, and also her own soul. Inspiring, isn't it? Personally, I find it very humbling. She's found the joy of her salvation. She's found her reason for living. She is not the center of her world. She's shining as a light in the world. And I want that. You know, when I read these stories, when I read books about people that do amazing things for God, I just think, I want to be like that. You know, I want to shine as a light in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation that have lost all sense of right and wrong. You know, shine like a beacon. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We're those people, you know. He is our shepherd. We're called to follow him. But absolutely, we should no longer walk in darkness, no longer get entangled in the kind of stuff that we did before we were saved. When we do that, it all goes downhill. You know, you get into this cycle of sin and death. But Jesus says, have the light of life. As you follow Jesus, you know, and the more you rule over your flesh, I believe the light gets stronger. You know that yourself. You know, it kind of gets more obvious. You become increasingly alive to God. Increasingly confident in Jesus and bold about your faith. What I'm talking about really is what Scripture calls the glorious liberty of the children of God. Turn to Romans 8 again, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're going to read through it again. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you retrain your flesh in the things of God, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Who's had that witness? You're born again this morning, you'll have had that witness. There's a witness on the inside that you are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Go back to verse 18, okay? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right? Let me just unpack that a little bit. We live in a flesh-spirit battle, okay? Your will versus God's will. And there's a suffering that comes from resisting your flesh, isn't there? You know, when you deny your own interests, you suffer. Your flesh suffers. It suffers a blow. But basically, it's saying it pales into significance compared with the glory that's revealed in us. Every time you choose the will of God above your own, there's a mark of glory in your life. There's something of the weightiness of the presence of God that you carry. Okay? All creation, it says, verse 19, is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. The world is actually waiting to see examples of spirit-led believers. You and I are the answer for the world. The whole of creation is under a curse. The whole of creation is working according to this law of sin and death. We've been set free from that. But we need to demonstrate it, you know. Free from the bondage of sin and death, living in the glorious liberty of life with Jesus. Now, I like to think about it this way. There's potential for me to be supernatural. Okay? I don't want to sell out to a natural life and miss it. I want to walk in the Spirit more and more consistently and actually see with my own eyes what's possible for me. I don't want to kind of get to the end with regret and think about what could have been. The sky is the limit. I've been kind of thinking about this more and more. There actually, as believers, there isn't a limit on us. Jesus said we can do the same works and greater still. We can actually walk. Hey, I'm going to say something now that may challenge your faith, but just go with me on it. We can actually walk here on this earth in the same liberty that we will have in heaven. I believe that because eternal life is already in us. If the condition is this, if we'll put the body under, put it in its proper place. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not going to go on too much longer, but I believe, really, as I said at the beginning, I believe the Lord wants to bring revelation this morning, but also do a work in our hearts that cause us to actually want the will of God for our lives, to actually want to walk in the Spirit, to be like those first disciples, hearing the voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, go there, talk to that person, do this, you know? It's the way he wants to lead us, for those who are willing. You're probably there, 1 Corinthians 9. And verse 24. Okay. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. Think about that word. in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Right. Athletes, when they compete for a prize, we're going to see a lot of that on TV in up ahead, aren't we, with the Olympics. They're competing for a perishable prize, okay? But it says they're temperate in all things, and it's true. If you've ever, spoken to an athlete or ever heard of an athlete's kind of the way they train, they're rigorous, you know? They're up at 5 and they eat 12 eggs or something, and then they run for 26 miles and go to work. I mean, madness. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they have the eggs afterwards. Details. It's the food channel, you see. But the thing is, they're temperate in all things. Temperate means moderate or self-restrained. They do it through their willpower. We, as born-again believers, have the advantage that we have the spirit of self-control. We have the ability of God to take control. And we need to exercise it over our flesh. See verse 27 again. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Paul didn't automatically do the right thing. His flesh was as rebellious and selfish as yours and mine. He wouldn't have wanted to do the things that God wanted him to do. But he disciplined his body so that he ruled over it. He subjected it to what? To his spirit. To God on the inside. There would have been so many times in Paul's life when his flesh would have been screaming. I mean, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. It says in Philippians, he spent a day and a night in the sea. I think his flesh would have been screaming. Same as yours, same as mine. And many times, I'm sure, he would have thought, I don't have to do this. I don't have to put up with this. You know, why don't I just go back and be a scholar? People like me then. You know, people used to sit and listen. I got recognition then. I had influence over people then. You know, I had a quiet life. I knew where my next meal was coming from. Had money in the bank. You know, all the things that make for a kind of comfortable life and a life that you can control in the flesh. He would have been tempted to go back to that. But he ruled over his flesh and subjected it to the spirit. And it actually says in Philippians, he says, I count all things rubbish that I may gain Christ. That is a place that I want to have that in my spirit. I count all things loss that I may gain Christ. The world held no attraction for Paul. It didn't have a pull on him. You know, his one goal, his one reason for getting up out of bed in the morning was to know Jesus and make him known. And you can think, well, that's all right for Paul. He was the great apostle Paul, you know. We're living in a different time. We've got full-time jobs. There's demands. You know, there's this and there's that. We've got to do other things. But the Lord still wants to be number one. The Lord still wants the affection of your heart. He still wants you to walk in the Spirit and overcome your flesh. And he's given us the winning strategy. He's given us the ultimate gift, actually. His own Spirit, who will come to our aid and bear us up when we call on him. And he wants us to learn how to win over our flesh consistently. I'm sure you all have, probably many times. But the success really is in the consistency. Consistently win over your flesh. Consistently dominate your flesh by the Spirit. A lot of people's Christianity, let me put it like this, I've nearly finished. It's a long list of don'ts, really. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do the other. Don't do this. People forget about what they actually can do. And it's what you can do that makes all the difference in the world. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Okay, Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Do the right things, and you won't do the wrong things. If we try and do it the other way around, if we try and not walk in the flesh, we will fail. And actually, it's law. If you try and not do this, that, and the other, you'd fall on your face. I mean, you do. It's law. It's by the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh, by doing the right things, you know, by getting the word in, by being alive to God, singing, worshipping, you know, just having spiritual investment in you by the Spirit, practicing spiritual things, you won't walk in the flesh. I think we've been dominated by the flesh far too long. Let me put it to you as bluntly as that. And God wants us to wake up to it and make some changes in the way we do life. He wants us to live in a different level of power to what we've known. Every day, not just scratch the surface of it, not just have these mini victories. You may think you're in a good place now. You may think your priorities are in a right place. But God wants to lead us on, and he wants to lead us into something greater. I'm going to pretty much finish with this. Who's heard of Kenneth Hagin? Sure, most of you have, okay? He was known as the father of the Word of Faith movement. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he brought this prophecy in 1977. I actually keep it in my Bible because it inspires me. And if we could have it on the screen, yep. He says, men on this earth will walk and talk and act like God. Religious people will say they think they're God. No, they're agents of God, fit to do the work of God. That needs to be our goal. You know, we need to give our attention to it and go for it. Because we're spirit beings in natural bodies. That's what we're called to do. We're called to walk in the Spirit whilst we live in the flesh. Yeah? And through exposing ourselves to the things of God, we'll go God's way. Through practicing spiritual things repetitively, doing the right things, praying, worshipping, daily dose of the word. Not only will we go God's way, but we will want God's way. So that like King David, we can say, my soul thirsts after you. Your loving kindness is better than life. Or like Paul, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Go back with me finally just to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I know it's a strong, meaty word this morning, but I know you're up for it. Meat is good for us, makes us grow. Deuteronomy 13 verse 11, we're going to finish where we started. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that we should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today, 18th of September 2011, life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Final slide, God's part is to bless us and multiply us. Our part is to love him and walk in his ways. It's not beyond us. We've been given a helper. By him we can overcome our flesh, defeat it, outwit it. And it's one step at a time, isn't it? That's how we do the will of God, one step at a time. We can, because God is with us. Let's stand. I just wanted to say this at the end, really. Laziness is our enemy. I know laziness is my enemy. People fall away from God because of laziness. You know, sometimes it's nothing more sinister or extreme than just plain laziness. You know, you might desire to please God and follow him, but unless you take action, you will go in the same flow as the world. That's just how it is. And we need to wise up to that and not be lazy. Okay, let's just close our eyes. We need to find time just to pull aside and let God minister to us like Jesus. Strengthen our spirit so that we will overcome the flesh. And like those first disciples, really hear God speaking to us. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand if you want to be led by the Spirit. I'm hoping that's everyone in the room. You know, it's a decision every day to serve the Lord or self. Choice set before you, life or death, flesh or spirit. But by the Spirit, we can win. If this word has spoken to you this morning, I'm just going to ask you in your own words to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, to practice spiritual things. That's the way we win. By the Spirit, we win over the flesh. So just quietly, in your own words, speak to the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to walk in your ways. Jesus says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. He understands the condition we're in. He understands that we're spirit beings in a natural body, and he knows what it's like to have the weakness of the flesh. But Lord, I thank you that you are our great example. Holy Spirit, we give you permission today to work on us and through us. And we pray, Lord, help us to be more diligent to practice spiritual things. Lord, we have a heart to please you and follow you. Every one of us in this room, I believe, is born again and therefore has a heart to please you. The reality is at times we fail. And Lord, we pray this morning that we will have more successes than failures in walking in the Spirit. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to listening to your voice, to praying that, so that we don't enter into temptation, to praying in the Spirit so that we bring your will into our lives, into our circumstances, into our families, beyond us, Lord, so we won't just live for ourselves, but we'll actually see your kingdom come into the earth through our flesh and blood bodies. Thank you, Father, that that is your plan. It hasn't changed. And so help us to imitate you and apply spirit to flesh. Lord, we want to live in the glorious liberty that you speak about in Scripture. We want to have that same heart and passion as Paul, that we count all things as rubbish, that we may gain you. We honor you, Jesus. And I thank you for this people, Lord. I thank you for this great people that you have gathered together. People who love you. People who want to walk in your ways. And Lord, I pray for them and I pray for us, Lord, that you will help us. Holy Spirit, that you will come to our aid, that you will bear us up, that you will remind us to pray, that we won't just live a natural life getting on with natural things, but we will be aware that we're spirit beings who have a soul and live in a natural body, and we will live for you, and we will see your will worked out in our lives as it is in heaven, Lord. We want to reach forward for those things ahead. We thank you for the great things that you have in store for every one of us. As we heard at the beginning, all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, and we thank you for that, Lord. But we know there is a suffering that takes place when we deny our flesh. But thank you, that pales into insignificance compared with the glory that's revealed in us as we follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise God. Good intentions are not enough. I've said it once, I've said it many, many times, because, you know, that's just how we are. Good intentions are not enough. It's what we do that makes a difference. So I'm going to ask you just to take a minute to speak to the person next to you and tell them what spiritual practices you intend to either start or step up so that you walk in the Spirit more.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.